subject, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Today is Easter Sunday. And if you are listening in to us, wherever you are, our online audience, I just want you to know that Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that we worship, and when he says he's the resurrection and the life, he means something. Hallelujah. And we'll take our main reading from John chapter 11, verse 25 to 27. John chapter 11, verse 25 to 27. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said to him, as she said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. The question is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? Jesus was effectively provoking Martha because his brother, Lazarus, had died. And for 3 days he has been dead. And at that time there is no more hope. But then when Martha saw Jesus, she believed that Jesus could do something. So he said, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not die. But Jesus' response to her is that, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And she said, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into this world. Martha believed, but I don't think Martha believed in the now that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. She believed that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life for tomorrow. So today, as we are remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ after 3 days, like the case of Lazarus, do you believe that the dead can come back to life? So I will start by asking, what is resurrection? You see, many believers these days don't understand what the cross and the resurrection represent. Jesus is preached in many churches as a historical figure, but not the resurrected Christ. Because what Jesus was challenging Martha is that, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? That means, is it a now thing or a future thing for you or a past thing for you? However, Jesus Christ is alive and wants to reveal the power of his resurrection to you today. So if you are listening to me, either here in the sanctuary or wherever you are in the world, in your homes, today I am saying that Jesus Christ is alive today as he was then. And wants to reveal his power and the power of his resurrection to you. Resurrection means coming back to life from the dead. Death was not God's original intent for man, but a tool and the strength of the enemy to keep man from having life and having it more abundantly. God did not create us to die, but the tool of the enemy. That was what God warned man about. God warned man about death. And he said, this is what will happen if you disobey me. If we do so, we give the legal right to the enemy to enter our lives and to destroy us and to bring his ultimate power over us in his fullness and in his strength, which is the power of death. The strength of the enemy and the fullness of it is the power of death. And if we disobey God and do not listen to him, that will come to us. And will come speedily. Jesus, by taking upon himself our disobedience, our sin and its consequences, the wages of sin is death. He died on the cross so that we will have life. In death, Jesus overcame Satan and took away the keys of hell and death and from Satan, so that man will have the ability to come back to God and to come back to life, even if we were to die. That is the reality. That on the cross, when he died and he resurrected, he took the key, because Satan holds the key to death. He took that key from him. And when he took that key from him, he's trying to tell you that from here on, he has the authority. He is alive forever and ever. He has the power that anyone who will believe in him will not die. Though you may die physically, you will be resurrected again, because he says, I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though he die, he may live. On the cross, a spiritual battle took place. As I preach you on Good Friday, go to our church website and listen to that powerful message about the cross. Jesus Christ on the cross fought a spiritual battle that took place, and he triumphed and disarmed Satan and gave us back the authority that was lost to Satan by the first Adam. And we can take a reading from Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. I'll read from the Amplified Version of the Bible, if you have it with you. But any version will be good. It said, when he, Jesus, had disarmed the rulers and authorities, that is the principalities and powers, those spiritual forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. Jesus, therefore, had the right to say that he is the resurrection and the life. So today, Easter Sunday, we want you to understand. We want you to understand in your homes. We want you to understand in your vehicles. We want you to understand on the fields, wherever you are. If you are even in this building, we want you to understand that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. That is what we are remembering today. And I've taught you that remembering means that to take you back into the same place as the event was happening. We want you to take you back to the same place as it happened. So today I'm taking you back to that place where Jesus Christ burst the tomb and came out. So we are remembering. That is resurrection. We are remembering. Imagine you there. And the tomb got burst open. And you know that this man had been dead for 3 days. Such things don't happen. But then he had done it before with Lazarus. So people should believe that he can do it for himself too. And therefore, the stone was rolled away and Jesus rode out of it. Hallelujah. Jesus has the right to say, I'm the resurrection and the life. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. Verse 18, I'm reading from New International Version of the Bible. It said, I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever, or forevermore. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. That means he holds the key to the grave. He holds the key to death. So Jesus Christ holds the key to the grave. When you are in the grave, remember that Jesus Christ will not leave you there if you believe him. If you're giving your life to him. If you put your trust in him. If you have made him the priority in your life. He is able to get you out of the grave, because he is the living one. He was dead and now look, I am alive. He didn't say, now look, I was alive. He said, now look, I am alive forevermore. Forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, Easter is not a historical thing that we are looking at. We are remembering. We are taking ourselves back into the same place as it happened. Hallelujah. That is what we are looking at. This therefore gives us a living hope that anyone who will die believing in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will also live again as he did. Hallelujah. You will live as he did if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've given yourself to him and made him the savior of your life, you will also live again as he did. That has taken many lives and lots of lives and lots of people, left them emotionally bruised and broken. For others, the death that has occurred in our nation and many nations of the world in the past year has brought fresh memories in our own lives about our own losses, our own loved ones that we have lost, our own siblings, relatives, parents, friends, colleagues that we have lost through the virus. It has reignited those years of pain that we have gone through. Yes. But Jesus, as we remember his own resurrection today, is saying to you, Martha, put your name there. Whatever your name is, Martha. John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? This is a direct message to your heart, a direct message to your mind, a direct message appealing to your emotions right now if you are grieving today. I remember so many years ago in one of our ministers' fraternal, there was a time that one of the ministers had lost his wife about a few months prior, and in the fraternal he said, look, I cannot preach this Easter message because it's a triumphant message, and I cannot go and say triumphant, remain triumphant and praise the Lord when my wife had died. That person needed literally emotional healing. And today I want you to know that you may not feel that way because we are talking about Jesus who's resurrected, who's come from the dead, and your dead has not resurrected. And you may be feeling aggrieved and pained. But I want you to know that today Jesus is the one who came to heal those who are bruised. Part of his resurrection is to bring healing to us. It's to bring healing to our soul, healing to our hearts, healing to our minds, healing to the brokenness, healing to all the times of sadness and emptiness in our life and a sense of loss. He brought healing to us. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? The resurrection, therefore, must mean something to us. Jesus is speaking in the now. I am the resurrection. He's speaking to us in the now that his resurrection should thus mean a lot more to those who believe in him and not a mere historical account. If he's speaking in the now, then it shouldn't be a mere historical account. That is why I chose not to go for the normal passage in Matthew or Mark or Luke when Mary went to all the disciples went to the grave and everything, because we become too accustomed to it. And therefore, when we see, it did happen. And from that day, from today, when the today ends, we forget about the story because it's a historical account. We want it to be a reality for you. We want it to be the now event for you. Hallelujah. So we today, even as we want to remember, and celebrate the risen Lord Jesus Christ, we are doing so because he's risen as he said he would. That should give me and you a hope that we will rise as he said we will. Shall we read from Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 and 6? I'll read from the Amplified Version, but any version is good. It says this, but the angel said to the woman, that's the disciple who went to the tomb first, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said he would. Come, see the place where he was lying. So you can see that this is something in the reality, in the now, something that Jesus Christ wants us to appropriate into our lives, not as yesterday or bygone thing, but something that we have to live it right now. Remember. So Easter, we are remembering. And when we remember, we have put ourselves in the same place as he was or as it happened, then we see the reality of it and we embrace the reality of it and we are able to celebrate the risen Lord. Oh God, this is a hope for me. Hope for the nations. Hope for you who is listening to me out there. Hope for you who is listening to me in your homes. Hope for you who is listening right in here. Hope for you wherever, hope for you wherever you are. I just want you to know there is hope for you. Verse 7, he said, then go quickly and tell his disciple, that was an angel speaking, that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee, as he promised. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Hallelujah. Behold means take note, for this is important. I have told you that he has risen and gone ahead before us, and therefore we will see him one day. We will see our loved ones one day. Our loved ones that we lost and we were heartbroken and we lost and we haven't recovered today. I want you to know that Jesus Christ wants to bring healing for you, because you will see your loved ones one day if they are in Christ. If they are not in Christ, then you may or may not. I don't know for a fact, because I don't know. But then the Bible says that those who are in Christ will see him. And therefore, if you have a family member who does not know Jesus Christ, if you want to see that person one day, you love that person so much, this is your opportunity to tell him or her that this Jesus Christ is real. He is the one who went on the cross to take our sin upon himself. He's the one who rose up from the dead. And he's the one who said that I am alive forever and ever. Do you believe this? And therefore, when you give your life to this Jesus, when you give your life to him, he is able to save you to the utmost, so that even if you are to die today and you open your eyes, you'll be in his arms. And I want to be with my mom. I want to be with my dad. I want to be with my brother and my sister who have died. I want to be with some of my very loved ones who have died. Just early hours of this morning, when I was just prepping about 2 a.m., I don't know why, I turned my phone on and I had one of my very good friends, my schoolmate, was 1 year younger than me, in secondary school. He was a medical doctor, and he has died. I don't know of the reason, but people were literally paying their tribute and giving, a tribute to some of the amazing things this person has done. And I'm thinking, this person has died. I don't even know if he knew the Lord or not. And that is the heartbreaking thing for me. So today, I would just want to challenge you. And I want to encourage you as well, that make every effort to reach out to somebody to tell them that Jesus Christ is alive forever and ever. And he has authority over death. I want to pick up some 5 points that will help us to consolidate what I've been saying so far. The resurrection should mean something to us, and something more than a historical account. One, the resurrection, only five, there's got to be a lot more. But I'm going to tell you about a few because of time. The resurrection is thus the continuation of Christ's life in the now. He says, go and tell my disciples. He said, then go quickly and tell my disciples or his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Behold, he is going ahead of you. You can see that it's present continuous thing. So here we see that the resurrection is just the continuation of Christ's life. Did you get that? He rose from the dead to continue his life. And to continue his life not on his own, but with his disciples and anyone who will believe in him. This means the resurrected life should be manifested through us. Manifested to be evidenced, to be experienced through us today. People need to see the power of Christ's resurrection being manifested in and through us. Because if you read the rendering in Matthew chapter 6, you see that the Bible said that, and the grave burst open, and the guards literally melted. They melted as if they were dead. This is power, resurrection power. Hallelujah. You go to Ephesians 1, and 20 and 21, it tells you the same thing, that this is resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the earth and from the dead is a resurrected power. Holy Spirit power. Is that what we are being preached to in the churches?
Is that what we have? Obviously, this church will be preached to that way. But is that what we are being preached to about resurrection? We preach it as, oh, that is an event that occurred at the time. And then we forget. So we become believers of historical events. We don't become believers of the reality and the present reality of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. This is what I want to bring your mind to. You see, a lot of people are like that, and therefore they are powerless Christians. We want Christ's resurrection to be manifested, to be evidenced, to be experienced through us. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 22. This was Apostle Peter. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he stood up. And when he stood up, he says, this is what it means about the resurrection. He said, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested, accredited with, witnessed, and certified by the God, by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. Do you understand that? He said, this Jesus Christ, this resurrected Jesus Christ I'm preaching to you. Prior to that, he was scared to preach about Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ rose up, he said, this Jesus I'm preaching to you, he is the man who's been attested, accredited, associated with, witness, and certified by God to be miracle worker. Yeah, to do wonders, to do signs, which God did through him in the midst of you. You yourself should know. So the resurrection should move every believer into another dimension of Holy Spirit power. Hallelujah. You see, I'm preaching scripture. I'm challenging you wherever you are. I don't mind your theology. I don't mind your denomination. What I want you to know from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich is that the Bible says that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is a man attested and accredited by God to you by miracles. That means he was recommended to you. That's what actually set him apart. If you want to know who Jesus is, you got to know his miracles. You got to know his wonders. You got to know his signs, which God did through him. And you should know that. There are many who are sick, tormented, destroyed, broken, and hopeless in our churches, and yet in many churches, they have settled just for the preaching about a historical Jesus. Resurrection allows for his life. Allows for his power, allows for his presence, allows for that to be manifested through us as a witness. That is why when you go to Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, your home, in Judea, your community, in Samaria, all the unbelieving world around you, and in the outermost part of the world. Before you decide to want to go to mission somewhere, I just want to tell you that how many people have you saved in your home? You see, a lot of Christians, they love to go missions because they want to be in the exotic countries. They feel sad for the poor people out there. But what about the poor people in the spirit in your home? What about those who are broken? What about those who are sinning? What about those who don't know Christ? What about those who are taking drugs? Those who are drinking? Those whose life are being messed up? What about your community that it is messed up? What about that? Have you thought about your nation? Have you thought about the world around you before you go on mission? I'm challenging you. Wherever you are listening to me from, I'm not saying you don't go, but be scriptural. Hallelujah. Definitely God calls us all to be missionaries. It's a mandate from God, but he wants us to start from home. Hallelujah. Because nobody is called to be a missionary without starting from home. Check the scriptures and see what the apostles did. They started in Jerusalem. They went to Samaria. They went to other parts of the world. It starts from home. Hallelujah. You see, so if somebody comes to me and said, I'm going to preach to the people out there, I'm thinking, have you preached to the people in your home? Are they saved? Are they in faith? Don't come and tell me some fake stories. God hears that. Shall we go to number two? Because my time is running out. It says that, so resurrection should mean something to us. The second point is that the resurrection proves Jesus' credibility. Resurrection proves that Jesus is who he says he is. He claimed to be the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And what he declared more than 2,000 years ago is still valid today. Jesus is who he is. Resurrection proves his credibility. Whatever he said, he came to live it and prove it to you and me. That is why I cannot preach anything that I don't do. Hallelujah. If I'm talking to you about power and the miracles and everything, I should be doing that. Otherwise, I'm a hypocrite. Hallelujah. Number three. The resurrection should also prove that death is temporary. English word, temporary. That means it's not eternal, right? Death should not be something that ends your life. Because somebody said, oh God, I want to end my life. Death doesn't end your life, my brother, my sister. If you are there, I sense in my heart somebody want to commit suicide. And today God has led you to listen to the message that I'm preaching today. I just want you to understand that death will not end your life. Zoom in for people to see my face. I want them to know that death will not end your life. You who is contemplating suicide right now, I sense in my spirit, hear me now. Death will not end your life. Death is temporal. And if you end your life one day, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will face him. And you have to give an account for taking your life. You have no right to do that. And I just want you to know that God loves you so much. God loves you so much. And he's saying that don't do it. There is hope. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. And today, I just want to appeal to you that go to our church website, www.southstreetchurch.org.uk, southstreetchurch.org.uk, and go to the contact side. It said, contact us and send a message that I am the one that you are talking to, and we'll get in touch, we'll pray for you, and God will set you free from that place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Resurrection proves that death is temporary as far as the Christian is concerned. Death has been defeated. And for those who believe in Jesus, there should be no reason to be afraid of death. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Acts 2, 24, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It said, whom God raised up, having loosed the pain of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It is not possible for death to hold Jesus Christ in the grave. Jesus Christ was loosed by the Holy Spirit from death. And therefore today, if you are talking about resurrection, we are talking about Easter, the resurrection, right? Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Then what we are saying is that Jesus was loosed from the dead. And therefore death could not keep hold of him in the grave. Hallelujah. Let's look at a fourth point. Resurrection makes the dead powerless. Resurrection makes death powerless. It paralyzes death. You see, death is so strong to keep you in the grave. But resurrection says that you cannot keep me in the grave no more. I am free. And today Jesus Christ is saying that you cannot be kept in the grave anymore. Whatever you're going through, whether it's a graveyard for you, whether it's killing you, whether it's hurting you, whether it's making you die in the inside and killing your spirit, the Spirit of God is saying that death should not hold you in the grave anymore. Because death should be powerless over your life. If you have hope in Jesus Christ, death, resurrection is your victory. If you have hope in Jesus Christ, resurrection is your victory over death. That should not make you lose sleep or be fearful or be frightened at all. Did you hear that? Because death is already swallowed up in victory. The resurrection is a sign of victory over death by Jesus Christ. And therefore, death is swallowed up in victory when Christ rose up from the grave, or Hades, the same word. So when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, I mean, one of my people have come and said, I can't find it in the Bible, the New NIV Bible. You see the problem with that? You see, a lot of things that actually bring the power of God is removed from it. That's why I use it sparingly. But when you go to the seminary, which I went to, they said, let us use that because it's scholarly derived. Because people with intelligence, spirit of Greece, derive it. And they remove
the power of it out of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 said, O death, where is your sting? O grave, O death, where is your victory? So it is trying to say, Satan, it's trying to say, death, you have no power over Satan. That is a powerful statement, and that NIV has removed it from it. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, O grave, O death, where is your victory? And King David, the first king of the United Kingdom of Israel, sum up resurrection this way, in a very powerful way. Acts chapter 2, verse 25 to 28, Peter preached this, and he just brought, Peter preached it with revelation, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he brought it this way. And this is what he said, for David says concerning Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoices, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in hell, in Hades, or in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One, Jesus Christ, to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You make me full of joy in your presence. Hallelujah. You see, so when you get this revelation about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you begin to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. You begin to bring the presence of God over you. And God gives you more revelation. God open your eyes. God open your eyes for you to see what is going on. Hallelujah. In the heavens, what God has planned for you. So this man, before he died, his eyes saw that God, Jesus Christ, will come, right? And that was a long, long time ago. Do you understand that? A long, long time ago. 28 generations before Jesus Christ was born, David said this. Right? I know this for a fact because it's in the Bible. When you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you will see that. 28 generations before Jesus was born, David was able to foresee this and said, this is what is going to happen, because even my bone will not be left in the grave. Neither will you, Lord, the Holy One, your anointed one, Jesus Christ, suffer corruption. That means he will resurrect from the dead. Hallelujah. This is incredible. This story cannot be faked. Hallelujah. The next point, Jesus' resurrection. That's point five. Jesus' resurrection is what makes Christianity real. Christianity is founded on the resurrection. Christianity is founded on the resurrection. Some of my schoolmates were debating, some JWs, right? We're saying that Easter is a God, it's ungodly thing. I said, you people, you don't know what you are talking about. Because resurrection is what makes Christianity real. And they spend all their time to knock Easter and knock Easter. And I'm thinking, you are doing the work of the devil. Because the devil doesn't want us to know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, right? At one point, I just sank their boat. And I decided to leave them there. So, Christianity is founded on the resurrection. If Jesus was dead, if Jesus did not die and did not raise up, our faith will be in vain. Jesus is the only being in the universe that overcame death and still alive to testify of the resurrection and the power it releases to those who are heirs of salvation. He died and he's still alive. And he's testifying that anyone who is the heir of salvation will also move in this power that is released. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 to 15. He said, and if Christ is not risen, right? And if Christ has not been raised or risen, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ did not rise from the dead, why am I preaching? It's useless, because if it's only in this world that we have hope, then we are most to be pitied. Then what's the point? Our faith is useless. Our preaching is empty, according to the King James Version, New King James Version. And your faith is empty. Let me read that. Our preaching is useless, right? So, yes. And we are found to be false witnesses of our God. Let me give you the last point so that we can finish. Jesus His resurrection needs to be revealed to us. It needs to be divinely revealed. Jesus is not a myth. He is not only a good person or a legend. A legend cannot heal anyone. Nor following religion or denomination can make you a faith healer. It is only when we have the revelation that Jesus is alive when we can walk in the power of his resurrection and receive healing and miracles. We need revelation. And when we get revelation of the power of the resurrection, then we begin to do this. So at this point, I say, let us recognize and use the power of the resurrection. And let me paraphrase Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 14 for you. Let me paraphrase Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 14 for you. Because there, Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul was writing. And he said, who is it that died? Who is it that went to the grave? Who is it that resurrected? By doing so, he was able to wrestle power from the enemy and gave gifts to men. Hallelujah. By he dying, by he going to the grave, he was able to wrestle all those demonic powers and all powers of occult and all those, spirit of wickedness, was able to wrestle them, including Satan, and take that power away from him, and he gave gifts to men. Are you with me? So without a resurrection, there will be no spiritual gifts. A lot of churches say, Gideon, why are you talking about supernatural power of God for God's sake? Yes, I'm talking about supernatural power of God and I'm not ashamed of it because Jesus Christ came to preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is supernatural. It's about healing. Have you read in Acts chapter 10 verse 38 that Jesus Christ anointed of God? He was anointed of God with power of the Holy Spirit and he healed the sick. He cast out demons. He preached the message of the gospel to people and he set free those who were oppressed. Have you read that? Hallelujah. Have you read in Mark chapter 1 verse 15? He said, behold, the kingdom of God has come. That's the first preaching sentence that he just preached. Behold, he said, take note, this is serious, for the kingdom of God has come. And you read on from verse 20, 21, and going, and you see up to 29, you see, that's I'm talking about Mark chapter 1. You see that there, the people said, gosh, this man preached different. He doesn't preach like one of our priests, or our vicars, or our pastors. I've been a pastor here for quite a while, and I'm preaching different because the kingdom of God has come. The resurrected kingdom of God has come. And Jesus was casting out demons. He was bringing revelation. He didn't even give them the chance to speak. He was healing those who were sick. He went to his mother-in-law's house, and he healed her, and she was able to minister to them. Isn't that true? Let me come back to where I am before I get lost. So in Ephesians, he said that without a resurrection, there will be no outpouring of spiritual gifts for ministry. Because he gave gifts unto men to equip the church for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to be mature, to come to the same level and stature of Jesus Christ, and not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and trickery of men. He is able to do this because of what? The resurrection. So today if you say you have the gift of tongues, you got a gift of prophecy, where did it come from? Did you invent it yourself? It came as a result of the resurrection of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. So today, the resurrection, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he will live. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? Christians therefore need to recognize the presence and the power of the resurrection and use it to expand the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can reveal to us the power of Christ's resurrection. Shall we say amen and amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited because I've got 20 seconds left. Praise God. Praise God. Should I have my worship team on the platform right now?